Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork. And Matthew, I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
And I'm Matthew.
You're not Matthew. Only people that call him Matthew is you and his mother.
Yeah, it's actually the Pork, and I've tried to tell him a couple of times. But, you know, and I'm Matt, or commonly known in Canberra, actually, as Leno.
So Leno.
Yeah, and we can work out.
Sorry, but my 8-year-old is called Matthew, and he just insists on being called Matthew, so I'm very trade. Anyway, one of us is coming from the filthiest store and buried somewhere in the bowels of Civic, the location of which we will never reveal. This is the podcast formerly known as the third most popular Raiders podcast on the internet. I believe that's still the case. We formerly known as that.
Yeah, well, whatever you like. It's good to have you back. It's good to have you back, Tim. Pork.
Yeah, apologies for my absence.
Yeah, we missed.
It was you missed last week.
Not necessarily by either Matt or myself, but a couple of the senior listeners got in touch and said, bring back the Pork. So you're back here. Should we reveal the real reason why you didn't come on last week?
Well, there was a contract negotiation dispute.
I was going to actually say, well, I thought the real reason you didn't come on was you're in training for the Canberra Marathon.
I was, and you participated
in the marathon, an incredible time.
It was ugly, people. It was ugly. The sea was angry that day, my friends. It wasn't a spectator sport watching the Pork run across that line, but I completed the 5.75 fun run. Fun run, they call it.
And not only did you do it, like, you gave yourself a handicap because you sent us a photo. You're wearing some sort of like chino shorts and a belt.
Cargo shorts and a belt, yeah. I mean, the cargo shorts are good because I could carry my wallet and my sunglasses and my keys.
Who goes for a fun run carrying their keys and their wallet?
This guy.
It's like a fun run, but one of those fun runs you see what you had to do when you were a kid, where you had a compass and orienteering. Yeah, that's very good.
Anyway, we've got lots of news this week, don't we?
We do. So, well, the biggest piece of news, and just absolutely fantastic news, Matt Three Knees Timoko has extended his deal. So he was already signed until the end of 2025, but he's added an extra year, and they've also upgraded him for next year and the other years of the contract. And it's after Sunday night, my God. Is there a center that's going better in the comp right now? It's hard to think of one, isn't it?
I don't think I can pick one that's going better in the comp. Justin Olam's done some useful things, but he's the West Tigers. So, I mean, it's probably not a fair comparison.
I'm going to go out on a limb here before you go in, Matt. I'm going to go on a limb. Is the best center wearing green since Big Mel?
There's an argument, isn't there? I guess
he's the most favorite.
Like, he's everyone's second favorite player. And what's amazing is after this early run with such a young, unheralded side, talk to any of your mates that go for other teams, and I'm telling you, they love the Raiders now because, you know, Tomoko, Savage, Strange, these kids that we all knew about last year, obviously not Tomoko, but coming up through Cup, you know, how great was it to see Tomoko play arguably the best game he's played? He's played some pretty good games for us, but then Savage on the weekend, I mean, I haven't seen him play a game like that in any grade.
No.
Watching him from juniors,
That's the best game Savage has ever played. Most complete game. I mean, we saw all the attack, but he was just as good diffusing kicks, taking tough carries. Just everything he did was incredible. And to be honest with you, Ricky said, you know, he knew that Savage had that in him. To be honest with you, I didn't know he had that in him.
I didn't.
Hats off to Ricky. There you go. Talk about it.
I'm not proud to say it. I thought he was gone. Last season, I thought he'd fallen out of the order and it was a matter of time until he was trade bait to get someone else in. I really genuinely did. I thought he got ragdolled in defence. He got pushed over too fast. His speed was his one-trick pony and he wasn't going to be able to find his front, stop getting pushed back, and he wasn't going to be able to make his tackles. Well, I mean, the Pork mock is obviously there. Slammed down Rapana, gets Meninga medal. Gave up on Javier. He's made a complete fool of me. And I am so pleased to see it. The kid is going off. He is absolutely fantastic. And dare I say, and his Pork Smokey, Queensland origin jumper.
He could. He's played. He was that good on the weekend and just dynamic and changed the way that we play. And what I'm so happy to see isn't those breakaway tries, because he's had those in him. He scored some incredible tries in the lower grades, and we will all remember that try against Parramatta at Combank a couple of years back. But just his ability now to take those hard carries, and he's so good at it that Regan Campbell-Gillard tried to take his head off two or three times at the end of the game, because they were sick of chasing him through the middle. And then you throw Schiller, and Schiller's ability to be able to cut in behind the ruck. We are damaging, and it's exciting to be a Raiders fan. I mean, everybody, if you just look on Twitter, any of your social media, if you're a fan of the club, it was one of the most exciting weekends we've had in years.
So yeah, that was the best vibe. That was the best vibe at Gia. It was reminded me of, you know, a time years ago when probably, you know, back in the days of Leipana, where it was just razzle dazzle and exciting, mm-hmm. and, you know, the points were just flowing. It was a great night to be out there. Next bit of news. This is not so good news. Rapa potentially out 6 to 8 weeks, and also Big Red out for the same time period. The Rapa mm-hmm. one was weird. When he got injured, I thought, oh no, you know, is this the end? Has he done his knee? Was this the end mm-hmm. of Rapa's career? And then, so he went off the field. It's quite sad. And then 15 minutes later, this is still in the first half before he came back on, he's jogging up and down the sideline. It's like, what's going on with Rapa? He's incredible. But anyway, he came back in the second half. Then again, the first tackle, he got tackled in, looked like he was gone again. I thought, oh, we've kind of burnt an interchange, bringing him back if he's not right to go. But then he got through the game. But yeah, he's got meniscus damage. He reckons he could play through it. Ricky's told him to get surgery, which would rule him out for 6 to 8 weeks. But Matt, what have you heard on the Rapa injury front?
Well, he said he was able to play. And I remember when we spoke about it a little while back, we've got a couple of buys coming up. So there's probably not a better time than him to try and sit out, because we have a buy in 3 weeks and then we have another one in 9. So in the next 10 weeks of football, so by round 15, we have 2 buys. So Rapa could potentially miss 5 weeks and only 4 games, or 10 weeks and only 8 games. And for a guy coming off a knee injury in his mid-30s, this is the right time. And Chevy, if anyone's watched Cup, he's gotten better and better. He's now gotten another month playing against big bodies. We're on top of the comp, basically, in reserve grade or just 1 point behind. And now it's the perfect opportunity to blood Chevy Stewart. It's at home against Gold Coast. You know, like it could not have panned out better. You know, Rapiner was probably going to have to take a break this season. The way that he plays,
yeah,
I can't see him playing 27 weeks at fullback that hard the entire year. So they've clearly looked at it and thought, from a long-term point of view, yeah, no, let's get him cleaned up. But it's just a meniscus tear, so they'll tighten it up. And then he'll have the right recovery and he'll come back in. And that second half of the year is going to be hard for us. We play many weeks in a row, and we're going to play some of the bigger clubs in that time. So we'll need him then. And I think it's perfect for Stewart to play a few weeks, get a week off, maybe play a couple more, and then we reassess, you know?
Yeah, I think always the plan with was for Rapa to start and Chevy Stewart to come in. Mm-hmm. And, it was inevitable that at some point either Rapa was going to get injured or potentially suspended, although he's been pretty well-behaved so far this year by his standards. But it's happened now, and you know, like you said,
it occurred to me in that match that people feel about Jordan Rapiner from opposition clubs the way everyone feels about Clinton Gutherson from opposition clubs. He rubs them up the wrong way, and I mean, you weren't aware
of that.
Because I love Rapa so much,
yeah,
it only came there. I was thinking, why do people hate Gutho so much? You know, he's got characteristics. And I thought, this is how people feel about Rapa.
The difference between people think that Rapa's a bit grubby or whatever else. The thing that they don't like about Moses and Gutho is they're perceived as whingers. They're always complaining to the
referee. Gutho whinged a lot on the weekend, and he whinged a lot to the referee every try. And then if you go back and watch the game, look at the end of the first half. He kicks the ball at the referee's head. Did you notice that?
Well, did you notice no one's talking about it. You know how he got 0 out of 3 conversions, whatever. Did he have a penalty when he had 2?
Yeah, he got 0 from 3. That's right.
He kicked one from the sideline in the first half after it got called a no try. He still kicked it and he nailed it from the sideline.
I mean, you could almost penalise him for that. But go have a look at on the Fox replay. He lines up to kick off just before half time, and they let the clock run out. And he does the referee turns around. He does this little dink, and it goes straight past his head. And he turns around. The ref turns around like, "What the hell?" And Guthrie's like, "Oh, I didn't mean it." He bloody meant it, mate. Like, he was having a laugh. And
there are a number of refs that I wouldn't muck with, but Adam G is at the top of that list. He is the number one ref for a reason, because he has authority. He demands obedience from the players, and he won't tolerate anything like that. You stuff around with him, it will be to your absolute detriment.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay. Watch the match this week, Matthew.
Matthew's okay. I've watched it a few. Well, I've got a couple of bugs to bear with it. We can get into it, but do you guys reckon James Schiller put the ball player off when he went up, you know, in the first half? I don't know. I'm picking.
No, I didn't.
We'll cover off in the news, and then we'll get into the para game in due time. So Big Red, we mentioned briefly, is also out. Very sad. You know, we had such high hopes for him this year, and between suspension and then lack of fitness, and now he finally sort of started looking a bit better this week. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks. I mean, it's good that we do have depth, you know, in the middle stocks. A lot of depth, really, more than just about any other club in the NRL. And Trey Mooney, who, you know, we all know has been absolutely banging down the door in New South Wales Cup, gets his turn this weekend. And he's a different style of play to Big Red, but I'm really looking forward to seeing him come on and just cause havoc, because he is just he's a wild man. He's a wild man.
Last season he was captaining the Reggies, and he was absolutely brilliant. I think the fact that Puru is captaining him this year is a mark that they knew Trey was going to come up into first grade, and they want continuity and captaincy in the Reggies, which I think is a good idea. Although I don't think Puru is out of the any means for first grade, but I'm really looking forward to him. He's been a really good kid since the moment he turned up. He's absolutely committed, takes it all very seriously, very well liked, and his dad stands up just behind where you sit, Blake. And I've had a few chats with him during matches, and he's a lovely man too.
I wonder if he's been posting on Facebook lately.
Yeah. No, Ricky's come out and said that. Ricky's come out and said that he thinks, you know, like Trey, he said last week there's a couple of senior people in front of him, but he's been knocking the door down. And as soon as he gets a chance, he'd actually be surprised if he doesn't give it up. Like, he'll probably keep it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, last time he played,
seeing how much energy and.
Yeah. Last time he played in first grade was the Knights semi. I thought he was outstanding.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I mean, he was ahead of Adam Mariotta a couple of years back, and then Mariotta had a pretty good start of the year in Cup, so he jumped him. And, like, if we can have both of them playing, and, gosh, Simbi Sasagi, how good was he on the weekend?
Yeah,
fantastic.
You know, like,
fast.
It's just...
No, he's fast, yeah. Fast.
Yeah,
he's good. Fast. But, I mean,
excited to see Trey.
Simbi Sasagi was a centre 5'8", that we actually manufactured. Mm-hmm. Into a back row, because our back row.
I was thinking, stops. How is this kid so?
No,
quick?
That's why. Yeah, yeah. If you watch him in cup and stuff, he's been really. We talked about on the show last week. Actually, really quick and great hands as well. Next bit of news is, and this is again more fantastic news. We talked about how great, briefly, Ethan Strange was on the weekend. He's about to sign a new deal again. Also, like an upgrade. An extension. There's a quote here from an article by Tim's friend, The Mole. We are set to talk about a new deal in the next few days. Strangers manager Gavin Orr said, Ricky has been really impressed by him and Ethan loves the club. So things are falling into place nicely.
Mm-hmm.
So our good friend Solzy on the GMP actually was the first one to sort of break this story last week.
He was. Well done you, Solzy. You know, he doesn't let things get him.
He's breaking exclusives. When are you bringing us some exclusives, Tim?
When I want to no longer have privileges at the club.
That's the problem, though.
And then I'll never bring you another one again.
That's the problem, though, isn't it? You can get exclusives as long as you don't reveal them. So that's kind of catch 22.
Absolutely.
But anyway,
no, it's not catch 22,
huge,
it's the rules.
Huge news, fantastic news. Ethan Strange is, you know, he's on track to be Rookie of the Year, I think, especially considering the fact that Galvin's now ineligible after getting suspended for 2 weeks. But yeah,
Galvin hasn't done what Ethan Strange did on the weekend. And for all the Sydney media hype, I mean, you know, we can get into that later, but the Raiders are killing it and they're not getting any coverage. And I'm excited to see Strange and Stewart play together because they had a real connection last year.
And Savage as well.
Yeah, like they had a Strange's ability to hit a really hard left to right pass and hit Stewart on the outside and or cut him and then hit Savage. They'll pull that out down the short side on the weekend. You watch. They'll go Strange and then Strange will probably cut out Hutto and maybe hit Stewart. And if not, I might be counting on the wrong side at the moment. But yeah, it was pretty amazing to watch him a cup last year. And it's exciting to see Stewart get his chance. And I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if it's in the run sheet, but did you hear about how he found out he was playing?
Yeah. You can tell the story, John. Yeah.
Well, Ricky knew that he was going to name him on one day. And I think Ricky sort of tapped Geordie on the shoulder. And then rather than tell Chevy himself, he's quite close to Chevy's parents. And Chevy's mum's been staying, Strange's mum's been staying in Canberra. So they're all quite a close-knit community. And so Ricky reached out to the Stewart's parents and said that your son's going to be picked this weekend in first grade and we would like you to tell him.
Yeah.
And then the parents, a group chat, and they kept Ricky on the line and then told their son. And I think it was a pretty emotional moment. No, so that's pretty cool, man.
It's awesome. Look, the recruitment strategy that the club's been following the last few years of getting these young guns and bringing them to the club and then, you know, investing in them. One of the things that you hear Joel Carbone say previously is that, like, they give these guys a plan and a pathway to first grade, you know, whereas you could be a kid in Brisbane and you could sign for the Broncos and never come anywhere near sniffing first grade, no matter how hard you are, because there's that many players. But they plan out a real pathway for these guys, you know, and it's falling along so nicely. And then you see someone, Ethan Strange, people go, well, as soon as he comes good, you know, he'll want to go back to the Roosters or whatever else, he'll go back to Sydney. But obviously that's not the case. If you build a good system and a good culture and a good club, you can bring these kids in and they'll want to stay. So it's really paying off.
And I know we've said it before, but Joel Carbone, just unbelievable. What a performance. Like, there's just, even if this is as good as it gets, this is an achievement. You know, this, what he's done with this recruitment.
Strange,
is an achievement.
Mooney, Stewart, you know. I mean, I don't know if Mooney might have been Peter Mulholland, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah,
but then what you think about it, look at the names that we're talking about. It's Schiller, it's Strange, it's Mooney, it's Puro, it's Stewart. It's these young kids. It's such a dynamic side to watch too, that it's hard to remember a time that we've been more excited, you know,
One of the criticisms, you know, especially I think in recent years, has been we've had a pretty slow back line. Jesus, it's not the case anymore. Speed to burn on both edges on Sunday night and just youth right through the back line. Now with Rapper gone, the old man, Jamal Fogarty, the only one in his 20s. What's that, sorry?
Don't hurry the old man out the door.
I never want to see him out. Go on. I want to see him play forever.
I wonder if this, I mean, outside of like that Sharks baby Raiders side that we put out, I wonder if this is the youngest Raiders side we've ever put out. It's got to be up there.
We'll do the maths. I'll get Arnie J on it. He's allowed a calculator in the cell.
Supermax side in 99 might be younger.
All right.
Yeah. Who knows about that one? Yeah. Well, no, I'm just...
We'll check it out.
They were both kids at the time. There are a few others in there. David Atkins was one of them too, was he?
Yeah, we'll check it out. The poll. Remember how we did another poll? Matt's poll of the week. I've got the results. Chat amongst yourselves while I find them. I was quite shocked by the result, Matt, I got to say. If we conducted the same poll this time last year, I reckon the results would have been about 99% Morford, 1% Danny Levi.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny Levi has really raced to the top of the leaderboard.
And this is the question was, who is the favoured? Who's your favoured number nine for the Raiders?
But you know what? I don't think it should be a case of like Danny Levi's good, Zach Wolford's bad. Like, they're both good.
Yeah, that's right.
They're both good. Exactly. And Zach Wolford is probably too good to be stuck in New South Wales Cup. You watch him, he plays 100%. Great every week. whether he gets another offer from the Dragons, and he does go before the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised, because they're desperate. They tried to sign him, you know, in the off season. Ricky said, "No, I want you to stick around," but he's just going to be sticking around to play cup. Anyway, so are you a resident of Levi Island? Was the question. Who should be the Raiders' first choice hooker? Zach Wolford, 43%. Danny Levi, 57%. Matt, do you feel vindicated?
Yeah, I liked pitching my 10 on Levi Island a while back. I've made a lot of money off selling timeshares. We don't even have real estate anymore. It's just timeshares. So people come on a Tuesday, they have to leave on a Thursday, because then we sell it to our hotel for the weekend. But look, mate, his service on the weekend was great. His left to right pass is fantastic. Like that pass that he got to Mocco, where he cut someone out.
Yeah, leading the try, that was great. Yeah.
He's not the fastest bloke in the world, but he backs up down the middle, and that's why he's scoring these tries. It's either, you know, they overlook him when he's at the ruck and he'll sneak on in, or he's there in the middle. And that's what you want from a hooker. If there's a half break, they just go straight down the middle of the field. And
4 tries out of 5 games now this year. It's incredible. And look, he was lucky that Savage put him onside.
Yes, he was.
Because the VRF at the ground, immediately, I know he's offside, but then, oh, hang on a sec, we'll just have a look at this. And Savage actually went ahead of
him. If you look at the tries that we score too, on either side, he's often the first in the picture frame after the try. So the short try, he's the first there. The Tomoko try, he's the first or second there. And that's what you want as a hooker or a fullback. You know, you want them really backing up down the middle. So and you can see he's enjoying it. He's happy. Like, they're all around him. There's a good vibe in the club. And I'm sure if he goes down, Zach will do a great job. And for all the listeners out there, I was never been a hater on Zach. I just thought Danny was our best hooker. And look, he still might fall off a cliff and I might be selling shares. But who knows, man? Like, I'm just happy the club's winning and he's doing well. Mm. Even Dan at the Sportress had to say something sort of nice about him. But he didn't want to.
No, he didn't want to, did he? So is it all time for our favourite segment?
Yep.
Time for feed or watch.
The segment that refuses to die. Well, I'm afraid it. I think this week is the week that it dies, because News Limited's Brent Reed, the man who has done more than possibly. Yeah, Brent Reed, the man has done more than possibly even myself to keep for feed or watch alive, has declared during the week that David Fafita will be staying on the Gold Coast. So look, it was fun while it lasted, but I think we've all got to move on. And there'll be certainly a lot of people that
we'll be glad that we do move on. Yeah,
that you've moved on. Look, for those of us, you know, who are deeply saddened by that, give yourself time to grieve. You know, it's worth it. He's worth grieving over. Okay, just give yourself time to grieve. It's important.
And you'll get to see him this weekend as well.
We're taking the piss, but.
I fully expect him, though, on this weekend to be by far our biggest danger.
Of course he will.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course he will. And Jaden Campbell will probably have a great game. We'll get to the team list, Pork will read them out, but we got a little lucky with the couple of selections that they've done. Haslett blinked. He didn't front up, and he's picked a couple of players that probably shouldn't be playing first grade this weekend. So it'll be good for us. But for Fafita, the last time the same thing happened, he came down to Canberra and he played great. It was
just saw that Josh Schuster is definitely on the Manly trying to move him on. I thought he played one good game last year
against us.
Killed
it's
it.
Like with Ponga. Ponga's out of form, getting back in form, play the Raiders. Don't Fafita out of form.
Fafita watch. It's been fun, but we bid farewell to it. But we will move on to another one of our many watches. We had about 6 watches last week, Tim. You missed out.
Sanders watch.
Oh, you're going to theme for everyone. Ethan Sanders. Okay. End of round six is when he can sign. So this is round 6. So he can sign. I've checked it again today because we weren't sure if it was the start of round 6, after round. It's the end of round 6. Again, not picked by the Eels this week, which I think says a lot. It says a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
Does that say that we've signed him?
Well, he's told them his intention to leave, or because apparently they told him he wanted to go. This is what I heard on one of the Daily Telegraph podcasts or something. He wanted to leave last year, and they said, no, stick around for this year. We won't release you to the Raiders. And if anything happens to either Moses or Dylan Brown, you're first man up.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been. They've gone where they've gone two different players ahead of him.
Yeah. Nah, but I think that there's a bit there. I think he's probably signaled the intention that he's going to leave. Whether, of course, it's we're hoping very much it is to the Raiders. And I think there's, you know, they're very much hoping that's the case. But I'd suggest the only reason you would have had Blaise Talangi in that side instead of having Dylan Brown stay at six where he should be and having the Colonel in at seven there is because they know he's going.
Yeah, who knows?
I just hope he's not going to St. George. You know, you just mentioned Josh Schuster. It looks like Schuster's going to follow Flanagan and Saints. But
yeah, but you know what? You know why Schuster will go to Saints? Because Fulton, you know, Bob's son, is now going to be the head of recruitment at Saints. He went Manly, got them all those dudes from Blacktown to Manly, unlike the Fainus and Alcalade. They went to the Tigers, brought the Fainus to Tigers, then had a falling out or basically never got on with Benji, got the arse from there. Mm-hmm. Now he's going to the Dragons, so now Schuster will follow him to the Dragons, that's what I reckon. And who knows, maybe Manly could do a straight swap for one overpriced center/winger or an overpriced 6/back rower because they're both on 800 grand. You just do a straight swap. Probably won't happen, but that's my idea.
That'd be massively in Manly's issues because they could use a center. Anyway, yeah. I don't want to talk about Manly. They suck.
Ethan Sanders, though, it's interesting because if he did sign for the Raiders tomorrow, it's not as though he'd have a direct path to first grade either. You know?
No.
He'd still be a couple of years away here as well, which maybe is what you want in a seven, but I don't know.
I don't know. But look, Adam Cook, the revised Adam Cook, has been killing it in Reggie's.
How about his goal kicking?
His goal kicking. What the hell was going on with that?
Do you know who's do you know who's the New South Wales Cup goal kicking coach? Do you know who it is? Have one guess.
Mel Meninga?
No.
Have one guess.
Tuch.
Kick more goals in the mouth. Yes.
Yeah,
I'm calling for his head right now. I'm calling for us to get a new New South Wales Cup goal kicking coach because the guy that's there currently is doing an absolutely terrible job. But yeah, Ethan Sanders, another one of the reasons why he'd want to sign for the Raiders though is he's on minimum wage at Parramatta, so he could be playing New South Wales Cup on minimum wage, or he could come to the Raiders, do an apprenticeship on maybe $250,000 a year. The other thing I'll say about the upgrades as well, which I didn't mention regarding Strange and Timoko, we obviously had money left over in the cap for this year that could have been used to bring in a Fifita or someone else, etc. You know, the Jack White money, which wasn't all spent. And I reckon they've gone, okay, let's upgrade Strange now, re-sign him. Let's use that money to upgrade Matt Timoko, extend him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're investing in their own.
It's smart.
Their own process.
Because you got to spend the money. I mean, you got to spend your cap. You can't just keep it there, and you can't carry it over to another year. You can sort of front load, I guess, but you can't keep it.
Going back to what you were saying earlier too about like one of the things that we've done as a club is give them a clear pathway. Maybe that's one of the reasons why he does sign with us. Like obviously Fogarty's playing well, and we don't want him out. He's like he's our captain on the field. Our like not our captain as in like rugby league, but I'm sort of like he's steering the ship.
Yeah, he's definitely the general.
But, you know, Sanders would only sign with us if he knows, okay, in 3 years, it's probably my spot. Where right now, you can't say that at Parramatta.
Yeah.
Moses and D-bags have got another, you know, 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah, exactly. Some of the kicks from Fogarty, again, the bombs were exceptional. You see it at the ground. Like Gutho did a great job. And even Sivo, they were kicking to Sivo a lot. And even he was catching them as well. But they were not easy catches by any means. There was a lot of variation. A lot of different sort of spin and angle, and some of just the distance he gets with some of the bombs as well.
Yeah. And the other thing too, it's not just like they're catching them and fair play to them. There's been so few of them actually dropped. I've been surprised how few this season has been dropped. But the thing is, he's putting them on a Coke can. So he's putting them down into the corners right near the try line, and they have to 100% concentrate on catching that ball. They're not looking at what's coming, what support players they might pass it. They have to 100% concentrate on that. So we're always starting with that tackle no further than 15 meters out from their line.
Yeah, no, it's working really well. One more watch to finish off this week. You want to do the theme for it, Tim?
Matthew, have you got a semi?
Why is not Semi playing for the Cowboys this weekend, Matt? Because two things. One, you told me that at the start of the year, as soon the day Kyle Felt broke the
Cowboys,
broke the Cowboys try scoring record, he'd be gone, and Sammy would be straight in. Well, Kyle Felt broke the record last weekend, and I think it would have been pretty tough to drop him after that. But Labor did his ACL in the centers last week, gone for the season. I thought for sure Semi would get that spot, but no, they've gone with Tom Chester, who's actually a fullback.
Yeah,
what's going on? Tom Chester. Find out. Talk to your people up there.
Shit. I already have a mate that played for them. He said that Tom Chester is a bit more solid in defense. And that's one of the things I think we've always had a knock on Semi. And I still think he'll end up playing a few games there. And once he gets in, it'll be hard to keep him out. But Todd's decided, you can see that he's decided to score more points than the opposition as opposed to holding them out, because they're scoring a shit ton of tries, but they're letting in a lot as well. You know, like the Gold Coast really competed with them last week for the first half, and in spates they scored two or three tries. But no, they've clearly decided that Semi might be a liability, because he was averaging more metres than any outside back in that club last year. It was like 190 metres a game.
And scoring tries for fun. I mean, all he had to do was catch it full, but he was catching
it. Yeah, but we could do that outside drink water. I mean, his left to right cutout pass, it's unbelievable, man. Like, it's the best in the comp. But yeah, well, I want him there, but he's not there.
Oh, well.
And look, this time last year when we were playing the Gold Coast Titans, was that brilliant tackle he did at the end against AJ Brimson, where he hit him so hard, he dropped the ball, and his pants came down.
Was that the last year or was the year before? No, it was the year before.
It was the year before. But look, it feels like last year because I'm still celebrating it. It was hilarious. It was wonderful. It really was the exclamation point
on that game, wasn't it? It came right at the end, and it was like...
It was. But look, in the replay, when he saw his underpants, you know, the animal patterns on his underpants. Like, I'm an AJ Brimson fan. I think he's a fantastic player. But that was hilarious. I loved it then. I love it still. What do we got next?
Something that's annoyed you this week, and you might say that it...
You know what really grinds my gears?
It's grind my gears. And do you want to know what has ground my gears?
Matt Russell not responding on a Facebook message.
No, I love Matt Russell.
Steve Locker Roach. Steve Locker Roach commentating in every single Canberra Raiders game this year.
Four in a row.
I actually have a theory about Locker Roach. It's not actually him anymore. It's AI, and they've just got the programmed responses in. And so it comes up. Right. It's like, here goes Blocker, and they hit the button, and a comment comes out.
I did a tweet during the week saying, you know, what dear Fox and I, what are we going to do to get a break from Locker Roach? I'll even take Spud Carroll at this point. No, yeah. They don't block me. If you do it, you know, tongue in cheek, it's okay. I'll even take Spud Carroll at this point. And people are like, oh, surely you can't be serious. You can't seriously want Spud Carroll.
Spud Carroll is what he is. Look, I'll tell you what does grind my gears. Where the hell was that at Shark Park? Same team, same ability, should have done the same thing. Up 18-0, they should have gone on with it. And, you know, we're in a whole different stratosphere now. What annoys me, and I'm sure Ricky is just as annoyed about this, where do you go from being, you can't just be like getting yelled at by the coach away from putting on that performance, right? That can't be the difference between as miserable as we were against the Sharks to how good we were against Parramatta. You can't have a golf like that. It's like maybe all the planets aligned and lots of players had bad days or something like that, whatever. But gee, looking at how well they played against Parramatta, and the Parramatta forward pack was quite good for a fair period of time, in that they were stopping lots of players at the line, with the exception of Tarpane and Salo, who I think possibly had his best game ever for the club. Mm. But they were stopping them at the line, right? Hard and fast, bang, they wouldn't go past it. There was no post-contact meters. They weren't playing that badly, and yet we went through them. The Shark side wasn't as well manned as that Parramatta side, and yet we lost to it. We lost to it 13+. You know, at the end of the season, I'm really hoping that 2 points doesn't come back to haunt us, because it grinds my gears.
It's interesting though, you compare the two packs, because the Sharks actually the players that did us cause us problems with the smaller middles, whereas you know the Eels have sort of bigger, slower middles.
Yeah. Well, I was very impressed with a few of their forwards. I thought Jermaine Hopgood, we've been singing his praises.
Yeah, but he's against the smaller, you know. He's a smaller
He was fantastic. I thought Regan Campbell-Gillard, although he did a few things, you know, untoward, I thought he was really hard at the ball and did very well. I thought Lane is about as good as any second rower going around at the moment. And if anyone I was casting aspersions to in their forward pack, it was Junior Paulo, who didn't do as much as he needed to do.
No, he played pretty small minutes by his standards as well. Wasn't his best game by any means.
Yeah,
I think
that's right.
One of the things that I've sort of read recently or come to know is the hardest thing in rugby league is to be consistent when it comes to effort. So to be a true professional, it's about having that consistency of effort, and that is generally shown in defense and generally shown over not just game weeks or months but years. And that's what separates clearly Penrith at the moment is their ability to consistently play at a high level for year on year on year. And it's very, we can't expect that from a young side.
No.
You know, so.
No. Ricky did the right thing, though, by keeping the same team. Like, I kind of want to call a few changes, but he did the right thing by giving them an opportunity
Because the problem is if you do go for those changes and it backfires, then where do you go? You know what I mean?
Like, a lot of coaches this week are really, buddy, the ones under pressure. Damien Cook dropped. You know, where do you go from there?
Well, I think you probably go to the unemployment queue, don't you? Don't you? I think, this is another thing. Like, he is, but the thing is, to get to be a first-grade coach, you have to be good. There's no question about it. No one gets there, right? Very few people get there basically on the reputation of being a player. It does happen where they get through and they hope they're going to be a good
Nathan
coach.
Brown.
but there's all sorts. So, let's not name them, but to get... The
Trent Barrett.
You have to be really good.
Terry Lamb.
no one's going close to home at this stage either, I've noted. You don't get there. So for years, I kept a spreadsheet that showed how many coaches have been sacked by which club and so on, and how many have been repeats. And you just think to yourself, it's not a sport. These are, you know, and I think what really brought it home to me was Paul Green in the match where Jason Taumalolo beat us that freezing cold night in 2017. And I asked him, how does it feel to have, Jason Taumalolo inside? And he said to me, it helps me sleep at night. And I thought it was like a joke, but it wasn't, you know.
No,
and,
it's especially,
you know,
it's especially...
he goes through it.
Poignant.
They're under pressure. They're in this horrible position.
Yeah.
And we treat it like some sort of sport. I really feel for the Souths coach and any position, you know, any coach in that position that hasn't done the dirty on their players, because there are a few of those out there. So, you know, while I don't wish South success, I certainly don't wish anyone misery in those positions.
All righty.
It's a leaky boat, though, that club right now. It's a leaky boat.
Yeah.
It is.
It's a disaster. It's a disaster. And look, you know, you don't want to say the lunatics have been running the asylum, but, you know,
they have.
You get the impression. You do get the impression. He's been gone all season.
Yes.
We couldn't find him. I wasn't that worried, but people have been calling for him to come back.
I've been putting out message boards. I've been leaving messages. Been ignored.
Yeah. I've tracked him down and he's back this week. I'm talking, of course, about our good friend, the Shark.
There's a time for living. Time keeps... Oh, hey, guys, what's up? Hey, man, what's up? What's up? Great, man, yeah, good to see... What's up? It's John. Yeah, sorry, man, I haven't been around for a while, but, you know, like, the end of last season, you know, the way they played in that final against Newcastle, man, you know, it was just, you know, just really inspired us all so much, man, and... Like, Lineves finally bit the bullet, and he bought this ranch out in Captain's Flat where we could all live. He calls it the Prawn Ranch, yeah, you know? And we all kind of, it's basically a ranch to worship Ricky Stewart, man. You know, Ricky lives here. He comes around sometimes too, man. He's got, you know, like six or seven wives at this point now that just kind of live here. You know, they're all pregnant and stuff. We got all these guns and stuff too. It's awesome. It's really just a utopia, thanks to Matt Lineves and his just utter devotion to our Lord and Savior Ricky Stewart. You know, man, he's just, you know, we're just like a big family here, off the grid. You know, that's what we call it, the family. you know? And, you know, sometimes I just think about how many people I'm going to kill the next time the Raiders leave. No, whoa, man, sorry, bro. Man, sometimes it gets crazy up here, you know? We just take stuff, you know? We sit around and have these thoughts, and we think about, you know, the next time, maybe if we have to go up to Cronulla, I don't know, we'll just pick a random house, and, you know, we'll write a couple words on the wall in blood, like pig or Paul Gallen. Because it gets really dark after the Raiders lose, and we hate that. We hate that. Ricky hates that. Matt hates it, too. All of Ricky's pregnant wives hate it. Look up there, guys. You see that? Everyone, you see that? You see the helicopters? You hear it in the woods? You hear it? You hear it by the mine? All right, look, I got to get out of here right now because I think we're being sieged upon, all right? And that's what Ricky – you know, Ricky loves siege mentality. Oh, okay, well, look, we'll talk about this later. Blake is texting me now because he thinks I'm angry at him. All right, I love every one of you. I'll see you next week, maybe.
Well, explains that.
It really does. It really does. And a close friend of mine up on the Sunshine Coast said to me, like, yeah, he was giving me advice on the show, and he said, for a starter, I should quit because it's much better without me. It's great to have friends like that. But he said, and for God's sake, don't let that American bloke back on. And I said, if I can find him, he's coming back. He's my favourite part of the show. I can find him, he's coming back.
He's definitely, I mean, there's some divisive characters on this show, but he's the most divisive.
No, I would say it was you.
I'd say Darnie J. Right. Well, there's something that's annoyed me as well.
Oh, it has. It made you want to go on the burst.
It has. I'm talking about hip drop tackles. Look.
What hip drop tackles? I didn't see a hip drop tackle. Did
Here's the thing. Well, under the definition of the NRL rules, it's not a hip drop tackle unless you land on the back of their legs. But, you know, I've seen a hip drop tackle now from Bailey Simonson. And I saw one from Jack Whiten against the Bulldogs at Easter. It's still exactly the same technique. They're just not landing on their legs, not through...
Yeah, he could still do his groin.
Oh, absolutely. And the most annoying thing about the Adda one was that at the end of it all, they got the ball.
Yeah, it went
backwards.
His legs
were twisted everywhere.
It went backwards. I didn't get
that. The ball went
backwards.
I challenged that. The ball went backwards. That was nuts.
Yeah.
I could understand with the one with Corey Horsburgh, right, where he's claiming he got hit around the throat and then he threw the ball after Gutho went into his ribs, that they give the ball away from us because he threw the ball. But out of the ball went backwards.
Wasn't even close. Yeah, I know. And it wasn't even held.
But the whole hip drop, you know, thing, I just think that that technique should just be got rid of completely. I mean, it's still, whether you land on the back of their legs or not, it's still the same technique where you're grabbing someone and then sort of unweighting, lifting your legs up, unweighting yourself so that you drag them down. Just get rid of the whole technique. It shouldn't have to be a case of, like, you know, it's not a hip drop if you don't injure them, because that's essentially what it is now. Just get that technique out of the game. We don't need it. It's just going to cause problems.
Because what you're doing is rather than hitting and leaving your feet, you're leaving your feet and you're putting your weight underneath their one. So you're pulling them over you. So you're actually taking the space where their legs are meant to be. And then the onus isn't on the tackler whether he's going to land on the legs. It's on the person being tackled whether he can get out of the way or not.
Exactly.
So Matty Otter got out of the way of Simonson. But if his ankle got caught there, then that's a hip drop. Yeah. But he could have... The fact that he was capable of being strong enough to get out of the way, he could have torn his groin.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Is it like, do you think Simonson in that circumstance has decided, I'm going to use this technique, but I'm going to not land on his legs? He just didn't have to land on his legs. It's the same technique. It's not that they're in such good control of it that they're, you know, using it in a way that's not going to be classified as a hip drop or not going to injure someone. I think just get it out completely. Anyway,
Unfortunately, I think a lot of that comes down to the referees controlling the ruck speed a bit better and allowing a good tackle a little bit more time, because we saw a huge difference on the weekend to a confident referee who could control the ruck and let teams tackle and actually have some dominance in the tackle, compared to the week before when we played the Sharks, when the tackler wasn't allowed given any time for both sides.
No, it was six.
And it just turned into a touch game.
Yeah, it was six set restarts each side last week against Sharks.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. You know, very different.
Someone else who's back this week, he actually sent in his piece last week. And for some reason, it went to my junk folder. Who knows? AI is getting more advanced, Tim.
Yeah, maybe it is.
But I've got his piece this week, and I'll play it now. Danny Stewart.
Yeah, this is Danny Stewart, the half brother of a Canberra Raiders coach, Ricky Stewart. Well, in regards to the drubbing we gave the Eels on Sunday night, fuck me, what a night that was. A huge win for the Canberra Raiders and a huge win for the game of rugby league and even a huge win for the Parramatta Eels. Now, we all know that Eels fans have a bit of a soft spot for Ricky Stewart for the sterling service he gave them in 2013, guiding them to a spoon and, more importantly, ridding them of the... getting the overhead projector out and ridding them of the absolute filth they had at the club. And Eels fans owe an enormous debt of gratitude for Rick for that. And I know for a fact that he still holds a special place in their heart. So I don't think even Eels fans could begrudge us that one. It was a great night for everyone involved. fuck me, isn't a week a long time in rugby league? Some of the rhetoric I read online last week from our normally calm and measured fans, we were a bottom four team. Rick was the worst coach of all time. They were burning Rick effigies, and it was all doom and gloom. fast forward a week, and we're shoo-ins for the premiership. Rick's the greatest coach the game's seen since Phil Economides, and everything's rosy again. now, in regards to the actual game itself, I think we actually need to give Rick a rap, because that week was one of the great weeks of NRL coaching. first of all, to give the boys a massive spray after that debacle against the Sharks. they certainly needed to hear it, and picking the same 17 to show that it wasn't us, and he certainly elicited a response out of the boys. And even the way the game was played in regards to some of the tactics used, using the footy and catching the Eels out wide, that was the finest coaching display off scene. And I make no hesitation in saying this, since the great David Ferner guided a Sam Williams and Josh McCrone inspired Raiders outfit to a 40-12 win over Melbourne in 2012. It was a special performance, and let's give Rick the plaudits he deserves. now, in regards to the big one coming up against the high-flying Titans, fuck me, our biggest opponent in that one will be ourselves. if we turn up expecting the win like we did against the Sharkies, well, we might have to only settle for a 50-point win, but if we show the Titans the respect of an NRL team, fuck me, we could bet 100 on these blokes. So, Raiders fans, get out to the game. You could be witnessing history. I honestly think that could be three figures for the boys. So, onwards and upwards, and go your green machine.
And look, he's right to be fired up. Yeah, he's right to be fired up.
I won't do that. I won't forget to put it in again, because he's not someone I want to get on the bad side of. That's for sure.
No, you don't want to get on the bad side. You'll find yourself outside the tent very quickly. Very, very quickly indeed. Very quickly. Yeah, not advised. So is it now time for our favourite segment?
It is.
Is it time for Ask Clown of the Week? And who have you got for us this week, Blake?
I'm going to go straight in. Okay, it's the anonymous Dally M judge that gave Dylan Brown. We'll never know who this person
is. Fuck's sake.
But I mean, Dylan Brown, look.
It's probably Spud Carroll. You could be the commentator.
Well, it's probably Blocker. Dylan
it's
Brown.
Someone at the ground. It's got to be someone at the ground.
Ooh, who is at the ground?
It will be.
Ray Mooney's dad.
The Dylan Brown got the ground. The fact that Dylan Brown got a vote and Ethan Strange didn't.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, mate.
Yeah, but it's someone at the ground, and it's an ex-player, someone at the ground. So, you know, like you do, that. So you say it could have been Blocker.
Was Blocker actually at the ground? Were are the Fox people actually at the ground for these games now?
Mostly they are, yeah. Mostly they are. Occasionally they're not, but they make it clear when they're not, but mostly they're there.
Yeah, right.
Mostly they're there. Well, look, I was going to do that, but I was going to go with the person who gave those Dally M votes because, you know, It brings down those medals. Like, it basically brings them down where you can actually go and say, yeah, that person won, but how did that person not get votes that week? And if they had got votes, they would have won, you know? So you've got to be really careful with handing those things out. I mean, it wasn't that long ago they got rid of the lady, Tarek's sister.
Yeah, because she didn't go to the game.
Because she wasn't at the game.
Didn't watch the game.
And, like, she wasn't at the game. Look, and that was bad because Ryan's really good at the game and she knows what she's doing. And look,
she's great on the radio.
She's a fantastic commentator and she was a fantastic player. I get why they did that. But at the same time, I do like the idea that you do have to own, if you're putting the votes
they
up.
They used to always say Greg Alexander, and there was one, and it's since they've introduced The two judges and the 6-point swing, they've gone, they've made anonymous. And yeah, it's not.
But look, I was going to go there, but I've decided my ass clown of the week now, we've mentioned it already, is South Sydney as an organisation. They are my ass clowns of the week because I'm not sure how you could take a dumpster fire like they have and put it in a raging torrent about to head over a waterfall and land on a childcare centre. But that's where we find ourselves now. I mean, they started the scoring last week, desperately needing to win. They were up by 4-0. That's the last time they troubled the scorer. They conceded 7 tries in the rest of that match, and it probably could have been more if the Warriors had held more. Now you've got Latrell sitting out 3 matches, and it could have been more. The only thing I think at the moment they've really got going for them that side is Colin Matangi.
He hasn't been very good. Playing.
He hasn't been good, but that's what's been around him. Cam Murray's getting shagged because he's having to do far more than he should.
Cam Murray's been
and
good.
Jack Whiten's playing okay football. The rest of them, they're in all sorts of trouble.
Look, Jack, the effort's there.
Their roster's out of whack.
Yeah, it's out of whack. Jack's, you know, been doing Jack. He does some good things. He does some bad things. And it's just the classic Jack Whiten that we always knew. Jack, but he always tries. He always has a go.
You never doubt his effort. Yeah. Anyway, that's my ass clown of the week. My goodness gracious me.
Throw James Hooper in that dumpster fire that goes over the cliff because he's the one who said Jack left to go to a premiership contending side. Stick it up your ass, Hooper.
I reckon Jack would have watched the game on Sunday night. They've been happy for the Raiders. Yeah,
he's straight to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think he would have been watching it going, oh, crap. No. Maybe a little bit.
No, I did not. But, I mean, they find themselves on the bottom of the ladder having won only one match. And Gold Coast Titans haven't won one.
But they're still above them.
But Gold Coast Titans have only conceded, you know, have a minus 85 points differential, whereas South Sydney have a minus 90.
The least points that the Titans have conceded is 28 against the Dragons. They've conceded like 30 plus every other game.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But also with South
this week, that any side that at this stage of the season was in the bottom four has never won the premiership, and not just in the NRL era, in any era.
Yeah,
so
I can believe
that.
The
bottom
mate.
Four at this point, you haven't. So Parramatta, the Dragons, the Titans, and South Sydney. Bye bye.
I wouldn't give up hope. Oh, I guess there's no Moses. I wouldn't give up hope in Parramatta, but South's, you know, they've got a long, long way to a big hole to climb out of because they lost, you know, a lot of games in the back end of last season as well. Because they were, after 8 weeks or 6 weeks or something, they were on the top of the ladder last year.
Yep.
And they went into free fall.
Parramatta also have a god-awful away record. So, yeah, they had a pretty good record against us. But they've got an incredible home advantage playing at CommBank. Yeah. And they win so many games there that for them not to be in the top four and have that stadium, imagine if we had that in Canberra. It's at least 8 points, I reckon, playing in that stadium. So... Mm-hmm. I just don't see how they're going to even make the eight, how we embarrass them this weekend. And then they're already talking about Brad Arthur, you know, potentially being under the gun. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, he's been under the gun since he arrived and somehow he's managed to survive for 10 years. So he's doing pretty well, isn't he?
It's true.
Isn't he? Okay. So what's next, young man?
Let's just cover off, I guess, a bit more on the game against the Eels and what we thought of the performance.
So, well, who we said, so we've talked already about who's getting the $10 land speed records man of the match award.
We haven't.
And, oh, well, we have. Look, we talked about it off camera. Look, there are so many contenders this week. Like, and that's in a response like that. Now, I want to limit it down. There's 4 people who I thought stood out, like the bollocks on a hound. Morgan Smithies continues to impress. His workload was incredible. He started poking his head through the line and showing he had a pass as well. His defense was great. Javier Savage, best match I've ever seen him play in green. Yeah. Pasami Solo got the message from Ricky that he had to pull his finger out. Oh my God, did he? His post-contact meters were by far and away the best in the game. His defense was outstanding. His attack on the line was outstanding. And he did great minutes as well.
Hair
best
amazing.
Match I've seen him in green.
Hair was amazing.
And obviously Matt Timoko.
Yeah.
I think the two standouts there are Timoko and Javier. But who's it go to?
I went off early with about 20 minutes to go and declared Savage as my man in the match. And then Matt Timoko finished the game very strongly. But I'd happily give it to either of them. Probably Matt Timoko, but Xavier Savage was incredible. On Smithies, that was a great performance. He was pretty down, his effort against the Sharks. And he had his first offload. in the game against Parramatta.
Yeah, he did.
And did you hear what Blocker Roach said? Oh, he's an offloading machine.
That's the AI. They hit the button. Block it over.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like Brett Todd, one pass and it led to an intercept try.
They might have to go back to Port because I'm voting Savage. You know, I just think his ability to take those hard carries late in the game were a massive point of difference and a huge step in the development of that kid's career. But I personally think he's my man of the match, and his defusal of some of the bombs.
Yeah.
Look, Tomoko was great. Yeah. We're splitting hairs.
I would say after the match, I thought it was Tomoko, but the more I've thought about it, and I've done a bit of a Leno, and I've actually, it's just the mini, but I've watched it two more times subsequently. And every time he was called on attack, defense, under a high ball, every time he came up with an A-grade performance in every regard, and he got thumped a few times, and he just got straight up like a man. Like, he has arrived. I'm calling it, he's arrived, and I think he gets the $10.
I see a Queensland jersey in his future, not necessarily this year, but I do see one potential in his future. This year, I think he'll struggle. Yeah. I think there's players like the Hammer, there's Coates, there's people ahead of him.
And I think they might think he's too short at this stage.
But
the strength he's showing, hitting the line, and he's been doing it all season.
He's finding his front,
hitting that line hard, finding his front, taking the hits hard, serving them out in defence, getting under the high ball, and his position, everything.
Yeah. When you see him on the ground, he doesn't look that small. And his thighs are like super powerful.
No, he's tall. Yeah. He's actually quite big. Yeah. So, and look, we've got Chris Cross. That's the other thing, guys. There's been some talk in the media about Chris Sarge.
It's not Kravage. It's not Chris Kringle. It's Chris Cross. It's got a theme song.
Exactly.
I mean,
suck my croissant. It is Chris Cross.
It's not often that honestly, we and the Green Machine podcast agree on something, but we're agreeing on this. It's Chris Cross. It's declared. I don't want to see any more Kravages, Chrisages.
It's going to make you jump.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it certainly does. Maybe
get t-shirts for it, because we're not having Chrisage, you sons of bitches. All the listeners out there, just let's get it out there. It's Chris Cross.
That's it. Well, look, what it I liked in the match against the Eels was we started off going back to our good game plan, which is ball control, completing sets, good kicks, good pressure, and we squeezed. We slowly hard defense,
really hard. There were a couple of times when they bring the ball, you know, off kickoffs, and they were going nowhere. They're getting driven back consistently.
We were slowly squeezed, and as we did, we accumulated, and then once we scored the first try in the second half, the floodgates opened. And I thought the way they did that, while still not doing anything stupid, they didn't go for wild Harlem Globetrotter game, but they went for things. I thought my favourite moment in the match, I did like Javier Savage's try from deep inside the own territory when he went across and just... stepping around Gutho every day of the week, you know what it reminded me of? Kenny Nagus going around Scott Wilson in the 94 grand final, just leaving him utterly for dead. I loved it. I could watch that every stinking day. Where my favorite moment in the match, bar none, with Easton Strange going through the line. That excited me.
Yeah.
Like, it sent shivers down my spine. I almost peed a little bit. I got so excited. It was that good.
there's our geriatric moment for the day.
He's doing well. It only took him half an hour to log onto Zoom tonight, you know.
I also Grandpa. That's we spoke about this earlier, and I mean it might have been last week's podcast, how we were still relying somewhat on individual brilliance, which was like that Strange moment or the Tomoko moment for the Hutto try. I loved seeing the Schiller try in the second half. And then the Danny Levi try in the first half, when we got on the outside of our men, like our ability now to actually use the pace on the wings and have a backline move where we're executing it, you know, like we're deciding this is the play, let's do it. Chris with his quick, fast hands, Tomoko with his fast hands, and just getting this speed on the edges, you know, like that shows that we don't have to go through the middle. It shows that we can go around the edges. And then if you've got that, if you've got speed on the wing, you start to put some doubt into the opposition's defense.
Yeah.
And that's when Savage could cut back inside and get that line.
Yeah.
Or suddenly where they're shifting too fast because they want to cover Savage, and then Strange can cut inside. So it's the best game I've seen so many of our players play, whether it was Savage, like we spoke about, Tomoko. It was probably the best game I've seen Hudson Young play in maybe a year, you know, and Pasami Solo. So there's a lot of really exciting things there that I'm sure they can build on. And there's also stuff to work on, you know, like our right edge defence. We've let in 7 of our last tries. 5 of them have been down that right side. Schiller's missed a bunch of tackles.
Schiller's attack is great, and his speed is great, but his defence is not his strong suit, and that's what Hopewadi still probably has on him is the defensive side. I mean, Schiller, you know,
he's a better defender, but I think the Schiller thing, I think it's a systems thing. I don't know if he's trusting his inside or outside just yet. He's overreading the ball. He's definitely got the body to be able to do it. So his defense will get better.
But
I don't know.
He grabs those moments too. Like he grabs the moments because there's things when he did get went down that sideline on that break and he backed himself to go down that sideline. He didn't instantly, he could have looked inside for the inside pass earlier, but he didn't. He thought, I'm going to beat this guy and then set it up. And he did. I like the poise he shows at those moments. That's particularly what I like about him. He does need to pick up more in defense, but his poise at those moments, I think, is superb.
His ball handling and skill level is better than nearly all of our outside backs. Mm-hmm. His ability to pass both sides. The try that he set up where he went down and the pass that he threw to Tomoko at the beginning of the second half was a perfect
pass. That was a great try.
And then... Yeah, it was a great try.
Hudson Young's try.
What are you giggling?
Say.
You're giggling at something.
I'll tell you in a second. Hudson Young's try. No, it was actually the Seb Chris try in the first half. Hudson, that was right in front of me. Hudson Young could have made it. And he almost butchered that try. He almost, because he's fast. Hudson Young for a forward, he'd be one of the fastest forwards in the game. He could have made the corner easily. But then, but he went in and then, you know, Simi Sasagi got the miracle ball. And then I thought they were going to call it going forward. The thing I was laughing about, Tim's just sent me his time from the Canberra 5K of the marathon.
Canberra time. Marathon 5K event,
Yep. They've got you in the 60 to 69 bracket.
They do. And I'm still nowhere near the best.
And not only that, the thing that I actually laughed about, if I look at this list, you came 222nd. In 221st, one spot ahead of you and 2 seconds ahead of you, Oscar Newbury, who was in the 80-plus category.
Hey, Dane, Oscar's fast. Oscar's super fast.
He was. He sprinted past me.
Oscar was at the 1938 Berlin Olympics.
He was. He can tell you about Jesse Owens. Yeah. It wasn't my proudest moment, but I finished people. That's the important thing. I finished. I got to kick out of that.
Stuff. Good stuff. I think the attack was brilliant that game. I don't think that it means now every week we're going to see that. So people shouldn't be disappointed. And I think we will see a return to crash balls at some points against certain teams. I think it's a horses for courses approach. If you read that Rugby League Writers article I shared, very good article. They said that the Eels, you know, defensive line, and they had stills of it, is very compressed. So there was a lot of room on the outside. And obviously also they don't have the paciest outside backs either. So, you know, it was a good game plan. It worked really well. But, you know, having that opens up. The more option and variety you have in attack, the more, options it opens up. So, things are looking very good.
They squeezed them and they didn't let go. And that I think that was the most appealing thing about that. They didn't go razzle-dazzle. The most foolish thing in that match was Hudson Young not passing out to Javier. But I've looked at the replay a couple of times now and I realise I don't think he saw him and he did see Sasagi and that's why he did it. But, gee.
He could have gone to the corner himself.
Gone to the corner. And it's what we needed to.
But Jamal didn't have his best day with the boot either, so maybe that's what he was factoring in.
Yeah, look, it's a long time before I come down on Jamal. It's really working out well there, which is really, really good. Now, we should probably now, we got the Titans, same spot, 6:15 this Sunday. Everyone get out. Now, you may have seen there is a Titans meet and greet for all their fans down in Canberra. We will share that on the site so you can get out there and meet the Titans players there. Because that will be, obviously, it'll be packed. It'll be standing room.
If you head down there, you could probably even get a photo with Clarkie. He'll be there.
Yeah, he'll be there. Clarkie will be there, absolutely. You mark my words here. So the side came out, a lot of happiness from this. We got Jay Tarpanay and Papali'i in the front row with Levi Ireland in between them. We got Zach Hosking back from his HIA. We've got Hudson Young, then at 13 as Smithies. 7 is Fogarty, 6 is Strange, Chris and Timoko in the centres with Schiller on one wing and Savage on the other. Sorry, Savage. And then we got Chevy Stewart, the 18-year-old from the Shire, making his debut in the number one jersey. Now, this is an interesting thing. I've been looking for photos from me from the late 80s, early 90s. His haircut, very reminiscent of the Porks from back then. Not ideal, but, you know, that's the only thing I could have a criticism about this. I am so excited about his debut. It's not funny. Then on the interchange bench, we got Thomas Starling. We got Adam Mariota. We got big Trey Mooney.
I thought you had more of a sort of Noah / Jordan Martin in the 80s.
I did. I had that too. But then I went to a thing where it looked like people said it sort of looked like I had a mushroom cap on my head. And, you know, it was bad. I'll find photos. We'll share them. But yeah, Chevy's got something.
That's more early 90s. That's more sort of Manchester early 90s, the sort of the bowl.
Yeah, but it wasn't intentional. It was all an accident. Then we got Salo making up the bench. And, he can come into the starting side with efforts like that. Up against us for the Titans. Now, you did mention before that Desi. And I believe you've had a coup again. You've managed to get hold of Desi.
I have.
Again this week. Yeah, right. We'll hear from him later. He hasn't pulled the emergency switch, and we've got Jamin Jolliffe and Fotowaker in the front row with Randall in between them. We've got Bo Furmore, everyone's favourite second rower.
He's a good player.
And yeah, he is. And then we've got David Fafita out for his best game of the year in the 11.
Canberra's own David Fafita.
That's right. You know, and he'll be down touring the facilities. We've got Cleese Haas playing 13. I'm not sure he's ever done that before, but he's playing 13 there. Tana Boyd's in 7. Kieran Foran's in 6. AJ Brimson in 4. We got Brian Kelly in 3. On one wing, we've got Jojo Fafita. And on the other wing, we've got my good mate, Harley Smith Shields in the 2 jersey. And
did you watch him play last week?
I did. I did watch him play last week.
He had a rough match, as you would say.
He did. The whole side had a rough match. The whole side had a rough match.
Poor old Harley. I just honestly, he just doesn't seem to be the same player that he was after his injuries. When he came back, played those first few games for his last year, he struggled, and then Cracker came back in the team. And yeah, I don't know whether it's just it's a physical thing or it's mental scars as well.
I don't know.
He looks slow.
He got manhandled on the weekend.
He did. I try really, and made a few bad decisions as well. And there was some bad luck, but whatever. But I try really hard not to get personally attached to players because they do come and go. But you know, you can't help in some cases. But he's one of my favourites that's ever been at our club. He's just the best guy. And that was like watching an animal suffer. That was horrific. I really didn't enjoy that.
His eyebrows did look amazing though.
Oh, he's a good.
some of the He'd fit right in on the Gold Coast because they've got some of the best eyebrow waxing facilities.
Eyebrows?
Yeah. The eyebrow waxing scene on the Gold Coast, it's well ahead of Canberra.
That's right. And look, and talking about good-looking roosters, you got Jaden Campbell at the back who is very easy on the eyes. Good-looking.
Bit young for you, mate.
Well, yeah, you know, obviously, it's not in my, like, I'm out to pasture, quite frankly. You know, I'm only good for glue or dog meat. But, you know, other people. Sam Verrills, still mad with him for the 2019 Grand Final. So I'm hoping we've placed him in the 14 jersey. You got Mr. Aaron Clark in the 15 jersey on the bench. Then you've got Isaac Liu, ex of the Roosters.
Forgot about him.
On there, and then we've got Pahulu, Josiah Pahulu. He's only had 2 games so far. 19 years of age, 6 foot even, 104 kilos. He's a prop. He's come onto the bench there. You know, look, at the end of the day, where do you see them having the class to compete? And this is what worries me.
Yeah.
Because this is what I thought against the Sharks.
Our biggest enemy in this game is ourselves, because the worst thing that we can do is, rest on our laurels from last week, take the Titans too lightly and we'll lose. Cause by all, you know, we should be absolutely putting them to the sword, but I'm nervous, Jane, this game. I'm nervous because we've seen this script before and we've lost to the Titans at home.
Yeah.
Before.
That's right.
Yeah. We thought we were going to beat them by a lot. What's interesting is Dez hasn't dropped Tanner Boyd or dropped Kieran Foran. They played so much better or last
Harley.
Week when Brimo went to 5'8".
Yeah.
So when AJ Brimson went to 5'8", him and Jaden Campbell caused a lot of havoc, and they're not doing that. So their 2 best players won't be linking up as much as we think. And look, we're just going to have to knock down the front door. It's going to be really exciting. I think it's going to be interesting to see the way that Chevy Stewart comes into the game. But he's got some experience out there. You know, Seb Chris will help take care of him. And I'd be surprised if we're not up, you know, 18-0. And then it's about how we respond after that.
The dreaded 18-0.
Yeah. We just got to hold the ball and squeeze. I mean, that's what it is. Hold the ball and just put them under pressure. And that's what it should take. And just hold the ball. If you drop, as we saw against the Sharks, if we drop the ball, we can lose anything. You know, but
yeah,
the
game's so fast. It's once you lose momentum, the referee is going to ping you for any little discrepancy in the ruck. Yep. But it's very easy to put, you know, 2-3 tries on. And the Sharks did that. They were not the better side, even close to half as good as we were. And we were shit. And they still managed to tie it up by halftime. I don't think that'll happen this week. I think they'll learn a huge lesson off what happened. And, you know, it's a young side. A young side in a game that they are expected to win can be complacent. And I think Ricky probably had a big conversation with them about that. We've spoke in the preseason, or they spoke in the preseason, about trying to make Canberra a fortress again. The two home games so far against Balmain and Para, we've completely dominated the opposition. So I would expect us to do the same this weekend.
Look, just before I have to, and I agree, just before I have to do a bolt, sorry, people, I've been called away from the duties at the moment.
School pickup?
Yeah, of course. What we'll need to do is the extended bench. Who's on the extended bench?
Oh, Tim. So, as of last week,
right,
we cut this segment.
No, you can't.
Just to save time. To save time, we've cut the extended bench.
It's the most popular segment on there.
Okay. Ask Lambs the most popular segment.
They've got Joe Stimpson at 18, half a Hardwick.
Just tell us, was the last time someone actually came in off the extended bench?
Happened the other day, not for us, but happened for another team recently. They got Keeney in 19. They got Farris from Malawi. They got Francis, and in the 22, they got Khan Pereira. I mean, it's not the worst.
It's the team of brothers, isn't it?
Yeah.
JoJo Fafita playing? Did we have JoJo Fafita? I've forgotten.
Yeah, he's on the wing.
Please Haas.
We got Kyle's brother. In the 18, we got Simi Sasagi. Unlucky to miss out. Great effort in the 19. Zach Wolford, 20. Nick Kotrick in the 21 and Emre Guler in the 22 coming back from there. So, look, who am I kidding? The Raiders win the extended bench.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not even going to compare the Hardwicks there.
No need.
There's no need.
No need. There are some good bloodlines. Bench. There are some good bloodlines in the Titans, you know, but yeah. We promised him. Here he is, Desi.
It's Gold Coast Titans head coach Des Hasler. Now, as this is a Canberra Raiders podcast, I'm assuming that not many Titans fans will hear this, which is probably a good thing given what I'm about to say. Now, the Gold Coast is a beautiful place. The family are loving it up here. The beaches are beautiful. The sights are pristine. It's just a shame that the footy team they've given me is an absolute shower of shit. I probably knew before I got up here that I would have had a bit of work to do, but it's fair to say I underestimated the magnitude of just how much trouble the Titans are in. I've got to be honest, it's like coaching an under-12s team at times. It's give the ball to David Fafita and hope like fuck that he does something because there's fuck all else happening. Let's be honest, it's not a it's not an easy gig, but we've got to win a game of footy eventually, or you'd like to think so anyway. And look out, Raiders fans, the mighty Gold Coast Tynes are coming to get yous, and they underestimate us at your peril. Titans by 56.
Who's got left? We should have got Tim to stick around just for that bit. I wonder if I can edit in some previous from a previous episode. Tim singing, "Who's got a lift?"
We've got a lift.
The acoustics. For me, it's a pretty simple one. It's Schiller. For all, you know, we've sort of covered this already. Incredible attack. You know what he can do with his hands, his speed. He's a weapon, but you know, the defensive side is something he's got to work on, which is the case generally with most young wingers outside backs. You know, they usually, the defense is the thing that takes time.
Yeah, and you don't face those behemoths like Mike Asilo.
No, and they dropped
until
him.
Until you make
and
it to first grade. Yeah,
and they dropped him as well this week, ironically enough. But that was right in front of me. And like, seriously, Mike Asilo, good luck stopping that guy from that distance out. I mean, he had a shot on him. He didn't do that great, but you know, he also didn't get sort of knocked out in the process, so...
He just overread on the pass twice in this bit. You know, one, he tried to go for the intercept, and then one, he just kind of got caught on the inside. And but that's fine. A very similar thing happened when he showed Mulitalo the sideline and he beat him to the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mulitalo's going to do that to most rookie wingers. So, look, I like seeing Schiller with the ball in hand. He makes the right choice. He's got a nice little goose step. He's got a nice pass inside. He's got a nice foot, his right foot, when he can kick it back inside. Yeah. You know, we saw him do that down in Melbourne. An incredible try down there. So he's just
and he went for it again, didn't he? When he kicked one through against the Eels as well, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. And they'll be working on that. And he'll only get better. But we've got depth in that position, and we've got depth in just about every position now, you know, that we're not having to rush our senior players back. So, you know, like Whitehead's now had another week, and
they're saying now like round 8 or something. So he's still a couple more.
Yeah. He's having some time off, so who knows? Yeah. But you don't want to rush someone back with a groin in their last year. He'll just redo it. And
I thought it was calf.
Was it calf? Oh, yeah, it is calf. It's horse with a groin. But then you know they've obviously got. They're looking at the season, and like we said earlier, there's two early buys, and then we've got a long stretch. So they'll have their targets, and they'll know what they've got to get to.
Yeah. Everyone, it's a thing. It's a squad game. It's like the Trey Mooney thing. Everyone gets there. We'll get their opportunity at some point. Arnie J, Mr. Reliable, he's back again for another week.
G'day, Raiders fans. What an incredible win last week. Harrow pretty ordinary and we were excellent. How exciting is it as a fan to see such raw speed out wide again in lime green? We are bringing back the early 90s razzle dazzle, and if we keep that up, we might play finals again this season. It is pretty hard to make a case for the Titans this week. They have been absolutely horrible this season. They came back a little against the Cows late last week, but it was against 12 men. As far as stopping them, the short list is AJ Brimson, Campbell at the back, and the second row of Fifita and Beau Furmore. All clearly their best players. Titans are running last for offloads average per game. Kick return meters average is also last. They are second worst or second best for ineffective tackles. They only average 2 tries per game, so if we do all of our ABCs well, we keep our defence tight, we should get plenty of good opportunities with the ball to score. So let's not be complacent. Build on last week, and we shall be looking at a comfortable win. Enjoy your week, and go you green machine.
There are, in fact, reasons to be cheerful.
Reasons to be cheerful, part 3.
41 reasons scored on the weekend. What's mine? Mine is that a lot of these kids in that plan that you were talking about earlier, the ones that we've identified and said this is your path to first grade, not only have they made it to first grade, they're playing better than we expected and earlier than we expected. Ethan Strange, you know, was probably number 2 in the 5-8 position up until that second trial match. And now, you know, this talk of rookie of the year, it's unbelievable. And on top of that, we've got Chevy Stewart, debuting this weekend, rated number 396. When I spoke to Justin Giddo, who was coaching the Cup side last year, he said Chevy's by far the standout.
Yeah, right.
And to think that with what we've seen with Schiller, Strange, you know, it's exciting. It's super exciting. So
yeah,
I can't wait to see this kid get his chance. It won't all be roses. There'll be a few mistakes. He's a small
body.
It's a
tough position as well.
Yes, and he's going to get bashed. Yeah. But he's our long term fullback, guys, and
yeah,
he's getting a chance. So we've got to, it's super exciting, and I can't wait. He's going to make some line breaks, and he's going to terrorize their middles because he's fast.
But he's also
his ability to play around the ruck.
He's got the ball playing ability as well. That's the thing. He's got that natural ability. You know, he's not as much as Savage that's going to do it all himself.
No,
but he can create. He can create for his outside backs.
Mm-hmm. And to have him in the middle,
he's
when
really good.
Tired.
He's really good at sniffing around the middle as well,
mm-hmm.
off the forwards in the air.
Imagine being a tight forward and you got Savage on one edge, you got Schiller on the other, you got Tomoko cutting back in, Hutto on the other side cutting back in, Chris cutting on the outside, and then you got Chevy Stewart in the guts. I mean, that's an attacking side, you know?
Yeah. Got things. My reason to be cheerful is just how quickly things have turned around. You think about this time last year, our biggest name player, our marquee man, turned his back on the biggest deal that the club's ever offered a player. And we're all pretty down. I mean, I was trying to sort of say, trying to come up with silver linings and say, oh, there's this kid and there's this and there's that. But, you know, I was being hopeful.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't 100% convinced. But from where we've gone from then till now, like everything's just come up so good. It's incredible.
Yeah, and it's kind of after last weekend. I remember when Jack signed.
If we lose to the
contract.
Titans, if we lose to the Titans on Sunday, my mood will completely change. Sack Ricky.
Yes.
What's he doing?
They're a strong knit club. They're playing for each other, and you can tell. And
it's brilliant.
And there's competition within the squad. You know, like. People have been calling for Trey Mooney. He gets his chance. Horsbrough was a State of Origin player and he couldn't get back in, you know. And Simi Sasagi definitely earned another shot. Like, Jesus, he was amazing. So,
yeah, no, he was great.
And Adam Addy also played on the edge too.
Yeah, well, Addy can play on the edge. He can cover the edge. Because apart from that, I guess there's an argument, you know, you could have a Simi Sasagi on the bench for his utility value, but I guess they want to have three middles on there because they've already got Tommy Starling that, you know, who didn't, Tommy didn't end up, I guess, Danny Levi did so well on Sunday. Starling only came on right at the end. That's probably the latest he's come on out of all the games this year, I think, so far.
Yeah, and we had a lot of repeat sets just because of the tries we were scoring in that second half.
Yeah.
So they were playing downhill. So he didn't need to take off Levi. Levi got a little tired. You could see he was stretching his hamstrings, and he definitely has only probably got 60 minutes in him. But and then Tommy came on and you know played well too. So they're all there. And I, you know, obviously we want to get Horse back as soon as possible. It's not good seeing anyone on the sideline.
No,
especially someone who wears his heart on his sleeve like he does.
Yeah. We got merchandise. We've still got the Raiders by 56 beanies. A handful of those left. Order one now from landspeed.com.au, and we'll chuck in some quite small Blake and the Pork stickers. And then rugby league merch, the If You Hate Jordan Rapana, I Hate You shirt went absolutely gangbusters on the ground on Sunday night. Ben Pollock and Cam Sullings, they were talking about it on the PA at the ground. There were multiple people wearing the shirts at the ground, and Cam Raider on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram posted a picture of herself with Geordie Raps in the shirt. So awesome. Standing next to Jordy Raps in the shirt. So yeah, he's definitely seen it now. Whatever platform you're listening on to, whether it's Spotify, Apple, etc., subscribe, that way you won't miss an episode. And leave us a review and a rating if you can. If you got the time, we always love to hear them. Coming up, so after this week, we're going up. We've got a short turnaround. Well, 6 days, Saturday the 20th of April versus the Broncos at Suncorp Stadium, 7:35 p.m. One of the rare Broncos non-Channel 9 games is usually when they play us on a Saturday night. Round 8, the following week, Sunday the 27th of April, the revenge game against the Sharks. it's incredible the NRL draw, isn't it? You don't play some teams till the end of the year, and you play the Sharks, you know, three or four weeks after each other, which is probably good. It's probably good. The team will want to get one back over the Sharks, so
yeah, we'll beat them for sure. That one. We don't play Souths until the end. We don't play a bunch of people till the end. So
I think we only play Souths once, don't we?
Yeah,
but that is at Canberra, which is good. We're looking forward to that one. And round nine, Friday the 3rd of May, tough game at Brookie, 6 p.m.
Yeah, we've always struggled there. And I can't...
They're a different team at Brookvale.
I know, and I don't like playing there. There's more... I mean, touch wood. The sand, there's a sand base at that field, and there's more knee injuries at Brookvale than any other field in the NRL. So I get super nervous about any of our players going there.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Just have to get through it. All righty. Yeah.
All right.
I think that covers it off for this week.
It does. Up the Raiders.
Let's go. See you later. Lake and the Pork. Lake and the Pork.